Hey there, welcome to the BL podcast. I am Srivatsh from Business Line, and today we have a very interesting topic at hand, which is CCI in an AI era. Artificial intelligence has emerged as a transformative force across various sectors, revolutionizing industries and reshaping competition dynamics. However, along with its vast potential, AI also presents unique regulatory challenges, particularly concerning competition issues. As AI systems become more sophisticated, concerns regarding market dominance, consumer welfare, and fair competition have prompted regulatory scrutiny worldwide. One of the primary regulatory issues surrounding AI and competition is the concentration of power among tech giants. Companies leveraging AI possess significant advantages in terms of data access, processing capabilities, and algorithmic insights, enabling them to dominate markets and stifle competition. This dominance raises concerns about anti-competitive practices such as predatory pricing, exclusionary tactics, and discriminatory algorithms. So, how has the Indian competition framework addressed this issue? Has there at all been a concerted effort to do what the developed world is doing when it came to AI regulation? Should India be focused on curbing anti-competitive conduct in the AI space, or adopt a more permissive approach to AI regulation, prioritizing innovation and economic growth over competition concerns? Different jurisdictions have adopted varied approaches to address these challenges. To help us better navigate the competition aspects of AI and what are the pressing issues around its regulation, we today have Dinu Muthappa, a partner at the Delhi office of law firm TT&A and a member of the firm's competition law practice. With almost 15 years of practice, Dinu has advised clients in complex competition law issues, including abuse of dominance, merger control, cartels and leniency, antitrust litigation, and compliance across various sectors including digital markets, pharmaceuticals, healthcare, media, and FMCG. Dinu is involved in a number of high-profile abuse of dominance enforcement cases, including several major investigations into digital markets. Most recently, she had successfully represented the Match Group in its antitrust litigation against Google before the CCI and appellate authorities, including the Supreme Court of India, resulting in groundbreaking and precedent-setting remedies. Dinu, who obtained her LLM in competition law from King's College London, is also one of the few practitioners in India to have worked with the CCI from 2015 to 2017, where she served with the office of the chairperson. Welcome to the BL podcast, Dinu. So, thank you, Dinu, for your time. Here goes my questions. So, what do you see, or how have you seen the journey of CCI interventions in big tech?
Hi, Srivats. Thank you for having me. If we're looking at how CCI or generally competition authorities have regulated big tech, it has typically been through what we know as ex post provisions of competition law. It's through the enforcement of competition law, where the CCI and competition authorities will investigate a case, come out with a report, then hold a decision. And over a period of time, you'll have corrective compliance measures. So the CCI can either direct an entity to comply with its directives or directed to cease and desist from certain behavior. So it has typically been through this ex post enforcement of competition law. Now, with digital markets particularly, or big tech particularly, there has been an evolution of CCI's perspective over a period of time. I'll give you an example. In 2016, when initially cases used to be filed against some of the e-commerce companies, and there was a case filed against Snapdeal then, CCI had taken the view that online and offline marketplaces would be considered as the same type of market, that they were almost interchangeable by a consumer. Over a period of time, that perspective of CCI has changed, where in 2020, in a case against Flipkart, the CCI held that online and offline markets have to be viewed differently because the features of the markets are different, the stakeholders are different. So similarly, I would also say, for example, with the perspective of privacy, in 2017, initially, when a case was filed against WhatsApp and Facebook, the CCI took the view that privacy issues are not at all relevant under competition law. But subsequently, in 2022, in a Suo Moto decision, the CCI was of the view that lowering of privacy could be a competition law contravention. It's a non-price parameter of competition, which the CCI can and should address. So the perspective has changed over a period of time.
Got that. But how do you see, how has CCI assessed the non-traditional markets, like the new age sectors or the new age industries?
Yes. So, you know, historically speaking, CCI has been a very proactive regulator in our country in addressing competition law issues. One of the means of doing this is in especially in new age markets, which the CCI may not fully understand at that particular time, is to conduct a market study. So, for example, in 2020, in Jan 2020, CCI released its e-commerce market study, where it studied different types of e-commerce markets. And from that market study, it noted that, you know, network effects are resulting in large amounts of data collection by certain digital entities. As a result, these kind of features, these kind of markets become winner-takes-all market, where your incumbent, because of its first-mover advantage, has become so competitively significant, no one else can tomorrow enter that market. Now, in this market study, CCI then suggested that, you know, a system of self-based regulation, where it said, in a way of saying to the e-commerce entities which were studied, that look, you need to have transparent and clear policies on collection and usage and sharing of data. You need to ensure that you have a clear user review and rating mechanism. And also you have to ensure that you are not sharing this data with your own other vertical entities, which may also be present on these, you know, e-commerce markets or on these digital platforms. So a number of prescriptive measures and advisory measures in a market study. Similarly, in 2022, the CCI came out with a telecommunication sector market study, where they acknowledged that when a dominant entity acquires data, it can cross-link it with multiple services in that user, in that ecosystem. So you see, this was one of the features that the CCI took into account in the subsequent WhatsApp case, where it said that data and privacy issues can be assessed as non-price factors of competition. And one can see that the CCI's telecommunication market study may have in fact informed the CCI of how it's going to enforce against these traditional or these new age markets.
Got that. So now, to what extent such market studies have influenced CCI's regulatory approach in those sectors?
Yeah, so you see, if we just take a step back for a minute or so, from around the period of 2019 till 2022, there's been slowly over a period of time, just how the CCI's perspective on digital markets has evolved, the CCI's enforcement against digital markets has also evolved significantly. So, for example, In 2019, the CCI had initiated investigations into Google for Android, into Make My Trip and Ibibo for price parity clauses, for against Uber for predatory pricing. In 2020, the CCI initiated investigations against e-commerce entities Flipkart, Amazon, against Google for its Play Store billing policies. And 2021 again against Google for smart TVs, again WhatsApp, against Apple. So all of these investigations, whether against Amazon, Flipkart, Swiggy, Zomato, all of them, these are based on issues that the CCI identified in its 2020 market study released in Jan 2020. So in a sense, what we're seeing is that the market study has informed the CCI in how it will move forward in terms of its enforcement against these large digital undertakings.
Sorry to interrupt. Would it be fair to conclude that these market studies have helped the regulator up its game on these sectors?
Exactly, and I think that is in potentially one of the inherent aims of a market study. You see, because let's take the example of data protection issues vis-a-vis competition. In 2017, the CCI was initially very hesitant in interfering with data protection issues. But then in 2022, in a suo motu case against WhatsApp, the CCI appears to have asserted its jurisdiction that it is going to look at data privacy as a non-price competitive factor. This was launched just a few months after the CCI's 2022 telecom market study, where the CCI had identified that lack of free consent and data sharing could be a competition concerns when, dominant companies are involved. So I would say that it is it helps the CCI understand and assess issues which it will then can potentially take enforcement action on.
Excellent. Okay, that's great. So now, with this background, I want you to help me understand how can one assess the competition law issues on artificial intelligence?
Understood. So you see, with AI and especially with AI advancements happening, one of the things that all authorities, not just competition authorities, are struggling with is, how do we understand, number one, how are these markets created? How do these markets evolve? What is the opportunities and risks that this results in for competition? And ultimately, what is the best guide for the ongoing regulation of these markets so that we can continue to see vibrant innovation just as we have seen with digital markets? And of course, there are not just issues, there are many, multiple issues of safety, security, privacy. All of these are issues that are involved, but of course, the CCI would be looking at it from a competition and consumer protection lens. Just from a purely competition perspective of AI, there are two types of AI, I would say. One is a predictive AI and one is a generative AI. Predictive AI is that which uses your historical or current data to identify patterns and make inferences based on that data. The second is a more kind of content creative or generative AI, which is a new development focused on the creation of new content, what we have, come interfaced with as ChatGPT or Google Gemini. Now, when it comes to predictive AI, one of the most sort of discussed competition law concern is that of algorithmic collusion, which is where the widespread use of a predictive AI in a market can result in more collusive outcomes. I'll give you an example. Let's say two or more flight companies use the same form of AI program in order to determine the price between a particular flight path, a particular origin and destination city for, let's say, peak hours on the weekend. Over a period of time, is there going to be a higher risk of collusion or an instance of horizontal price fixing on that pricing, where that ultimately leads to a reduction of competition between those two airline firms, let's say. In fact, we had a case
On the airline firms.
on the airline firms, which was ultimately closed by the CCI due to lack of evidence at that time. You see, That was around 2017, 16 or 17. So, but that day is not necessarily the same as 2024. So we could potentially see different outcomes. Today, after the CCI has launched an AI market study and after it has understood the potential collusive effects that come about with predictive AI.
So
We
talking of AI market study, what is the current status? Because we have heard the CCI chairperson say that there is an intention to launch a market study. Has it been launched?
That I'm not in a position to answer, Srivats, because I'm not aware of it.
Okay.
Typically, what the CCI does is it raises internally, I think it raises a tender for particular public institutions to respond for in order to conduct these market studies. And then it is done in a very collaborative process from an external agency and an internal agency. And then the market study is published. But I'm not well aware of those because that is possibly an internal CCI function.
Okay, got that. Got that. Yeah, so please go ahead.
Yeah, so in terms of competition law issues, where I was just going to say we had one case that briefly touched upon it, which was filed against Ola and Uber. And the allegation there was that the drivers of these two respective apps are using pricing algorithms and therefore engaging in some form of a price fixing or hub and spoke cartel. Now, ultimately, that case was dismissed at the preliminary stage for lack of evidence. But potentially, with an AI market study, which will help the CCI and inform the competition authority of the issues that are involved in these markets, we never know what a similar case may result in tomorrow. The
Okay.
CLRC committee also similarly said that had discussed whether or not we need a separate legislative framework for algorithmic conclusion. And in fact, the Competition Amendment Act was then amended, not specifically for AI, but was amended, in fact, to include specifically a prohibition on these hub and spoke cartels to cover as a nature of anti-competitive horizontal agreements, which could be covered.
Okay. So then, what exactly are the competition law issues vis-a-vis, say, a generative AI or a AI foundation models? If you could also elaborate on what exactly are AI foundation models?
Sure. A foundation model is AI technology which uses large machine learning, which to train vast amounts of data, which can then be quickly adopted for a range of tasks and operations. The issues with foundation models actually is that they are raising a number of potential issues, which we may not really see today, but there are potential risks to effective competition in the future. So, for example, I can give you just two or three types of immediate competition law issues that are identified with foundation models. One is the issue of vertical integration, where you are already having large big tech companies already tie up with AI developers, right? Now you are, in a way, ensuring vertical integration across the value chain. For example, let's say a cloud provider is tying up with AI, which will then deploy this AI program on its downstream, let's say, search engine. So this entity will then be present upstream in the provision of cloud. It'll be present in the provision of AI, and it'll also be present in the final downstream entity of using AI in its, let's say, search engine. So when you have at the very start with the development of these AI markets, when you're having this sort of vertical tie-up and linkages with existing big tech companies, the competition law issue is that tomorrow will you necessarily have any, is there any scope for the market left? Are you going to preclude new entrants from being able to enter into and compete with these incumbents that have already tied up with AI developers? Another big issue, for example, is access to computing powers. The US FTC is similarly examining tie-ups between big tech and AI developers. And the UK's Competition Market Authorities is also looking at whether or not this is going to cause an issue. because cloud services are dominated by big tech, and this big tech is becoming slowly vertically integrated with AI developers. And lastly, the concern as always is that your big tech companies have traditionally had access to large data sets. And because of this access to data, does that give them a first mover advantage with the use of, with the deployment of AI or AI-based technologies in various markets in the future, especially when access to proprietary data is becoming more and more relevant?
Got that. So now the big question is, or the much talked about area is CCI's sort of capacity and capability to address the huge activity in the digital markets. So what about capacity building for CCI on digital market cases? A point that the recent CDCL report also stressed the need for.
That's right, Shivat. So the recently published report, the CDCL report, has advocated for a Digital Competition Act, which will provide for ex-ante regulatory framework for monitoring of big tech conduct. Now, the monitoring of this conduct is proposed to be done internally by the CCI. And to that end, the CCI has been tasked with the creation of a digital markets unit, which this digital markets unit in the CCI is potentially going to have its focus the enforcement of regulatory framework for big tech. Now, you know, there in order to create such a unit within the CCI, there'll be certain, at the very outset, there'll be certain responsibilities, duties, and certain capacity building that will have to be done. One is your digital markets unit will have to be almost like a center of expertise for regulation of these digital markets, and having the capability to understand how these digital models work, the role of data for firms, the incentives which are driving these firms, and how they operate. And its duty will be to oversee these large designated digital platforms and how they are complying with the law. And if they are not complying with the law, how will you enforce and intervene in a proactive and timely manner to ensure that your intervention brings about immediate cessation of anti-competitive practices? So there are a large number of challenges, I would believe, to the setup of the DMDU because there's a significant amount of responsibility also. They need to be given enough power and clear objectives. And not just in relation to support of the CCI, I would see this unit as tomorrow supporting the Indian government or the MCA on various issues regarding digital platforms. They can set up a mechanism for evidence gathering from public sources. There are also significant advocacy efforts specifically for purposes of spreading awareness because ultimately it is the digital consumer or digital user at the end of the day that the regulator wants to safeguard. And then finally, I think there has to be a manner of engaging with stakeholders across industry, across academia, and other regulators as well, even including with, you know, similar digital market units in the UK or in other jurisdictions, and build close relationships and expertise over a period of time, which will help you, you know, both in your domestic relationships as well as those overseas, and then become a center of expertise or excellence for digital markets.
Got it. Now, one of the sort of pressing questions is that with India having been a trailblazer in DPI and having made so much strides, now do you see a possibility of India going Atmanirbhar on the AI model?
Well, you see, India's success with DPI on riding on India's stack is well known. The question is whether a foundation model can be trained on societal norms with oversight by the Indian government. Potentially with private and public collaboration, I would say that it is a possibility. the IT and tech industries, whether they can work together with data contributed by India's tech products. But over here, the role of private participation, I think, will be critical because they are the ones having access to data on user behaviors. And if, of course, the government could make this as a digital public good, interoperable with other India's tech products, that would be ultimately the best interest of the interest of not just other digital entities hoping to build businesses on such a India stack, but also for the ultimate consumer, the way, the manner in which UPI has worked out to be so favorable to the Indian consumer as well as to Indian businesses.
Got it. Recently, the cabinet has approved a AI mission, AI India mission. So what are your thoughts on that? And does that cover the aspect of Atmanirbhar AI model?
Well, Shivats, to answer, we are today at the today the Indian government is making the first move to creating and unlocking these opportunities. Once these opportunities had these, you know, this once we have hopefully invested sufficiently in these indigenous foundation models, it remains to be seen. I think it is most definitely something that the government has is willing to put its efforts and investments into. The question is, what to what extent will private enterprise cooperate in building such a comprehensive ecosystem? That is what I think will shape the success story.
But one last question from my side is that how is India moving ahead on the legislative aspects of regulating AI from a competition lens or for regulating the competition effects of AI?
Sure. So currently, Mr. Shivats, the AI technologies, regulation of digital market services in other countries, or at least in the EU, is being done under the DMA. So there is a question that AI technologies are also covered under the EU DMA as well. Actually, whether or not it is directly being regulated or not is a point of dissection and debate within the EU, because AI technology is not explicitly mentioned as a core platform service for regulation under the DMA. But one interpretation, of course, is that if a gatekeeper in the EU is providing a core platform service which incorporates within itself certain AI technologies or AI plugins, then that necessarily, if that core platform service is governed by DMA, so is the AI technology equally governed by it. And to give you an example, if let's say a company's search engine is considered to be a core platform service and is falls under regulation under the DMA, then an argument can be made that the underlying generative AI technology or the AI plugin will also be equally subject to that DMA provision. So that DMA provision against self-preferencing or against FRAND terms, transparent conditions of ranking. These are the obligations that would apply. There is another provision in the DMA which requires their gatekeepers to apply fair, non-discriminatory and transparent conditions of rankings in their algorithms. To that extent, it may also touch upon AI. While these are legislative provisions in, of course, the EU, they are not necessarily reflected in the draft competition bill, which was recently circulated by the CDECL report. So we are still not at a point of legislating it, number one. The proposed act doesn't explicitly list AI as one of the core digital services, but potentially maybe similar considerations could apply where you could maybe read it into a core digital service if that digital service already incorporates an AI plugin or the technology, or potentially it will, the means of regulating it will necessarily be legislated on maybe after the market study.
Okay, so does that mean the proposed law has a provision to empower the government or the CCI to expand the core digital services?
So AI today is not listed as a core digital service, Mr. Shivats, but
But
you see,
going forward,
yes.
they do have a mechanism to expand that.
Correct. They have the ability to include within the definition of online intermediation service any other digital service, which is not already expressly covered. Now, what if your AI it is not necessarily dealing with intermediation services? Right. So that, I don't necessarily think that that the law in its current form, yes, it potentially could be interpreted to include it, but one would argue that if one is seeking to regulate AI technologies, then it should fall under explicit mention.
Okay, so the bottom line is, as on date in the current proposed format or the bill is silent on AI regulation.
Correct. It does not explicitly cover the regulation of AI in the current proposed digital competition bill.
Excellent. So thank you, Dino, for that clarity. That was a very important aspect of how we are looking at AI regulation from a competition lens. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. Bye.